So we're going to speak today about the Israel HaHazik. I want to address six questions for the Israel HaHazik. So the first question we want to address is whether there is an Israel HaHazik. What evidence do we have for that? Does it exist at all? Number two, we're going to address if there is an Israel HaHazik, what would the rationale be for that Israel HaHazik? Number three, are there other Isurim that we can invoke to explain certain cases of Nezikin, certain types of Nezikin? Number four, what would the scope be of the Israel HaHazik? Number five, and this is a little bit of a vague characterization, but it'll become clearer as we go on. What are the characteristics of the Israel HaHazik? And then number six, what's the relationship between the Israel HaHazik and the Chiyuv Tashlumin? Those are the six things we want to address. Okay, so let's begin. So what is there an Israel HaHazik at all? Now, this question, before we even answer like the evidence that we have for it, is testing a very basic issue in Dinei Nezikin, right? It's basically testing whether a person has rights that prevent others from damaging their property, or simply do they have legal recourse in the event that they are damaged, right? Does a person have property rights that protect them from other people's damages? That's essentially what this question tests, whether there's an Israel HaHazik. So what evidence do we have on this question? So probably the most striking makor is the Mabit in the Kiryas Sefer in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, where the Mabit is pretty clear that there's no Israel HaHazik midaraisa. Midaraisa, should someone desire, he can go and damage and pay for whatever he damages. That's the rule midaraisa. Read the Lashon, Masha Asr La'adam LaHazik U'Lashalim, Nira Dahavi Midarabanan. In Hilchos Shchinim, Perek Tes, he's also very, very, very clear that Dinei Harchakos Nezikin are just Darabanan, because midaraisa, the whole halacha is just that if you do Nezikin, you have to pay. So the Mabit thinks that there is no Israel HaHazik midaraisa. Most Rishonim, including the She'iltos, the Rambam, the Tur, all think that there's an Israel HaHazik. Most Rishonim reject this Mabit. They disagree. They think there's absolutely an Israel HaHazik. What evidence do we have for this in Chazal? So we probably have three good nafkaminas for this question within the Gemaras and the Midrashim. So the first is the Mechilta, the Rishmal, where the Medrash says that the reason why the Pasuk says the Chi Yiftach and the Chi Yichre Bor, both opening a bor and digging a bor to be Mechayiv, is to teach you Ein Onshin Min Hadin. It's to teach you that we cannot logically deduce one Chi from another. Now, applying Ein Onshin Min Hadin is seemingly assuming that there's some sort of Isser aspect to this concept of Nezikin. Right? That there's some relevance of the halachos of Onshin, of Dinei Nefashos, to punishments of Nezikin, to monetary punishments of Nezikin. This is only sensible if you think that there's an Israel HaHazik. Is that clear? Tosfos rejects this. Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and says that our Mishnah clearly rejects the Mechilta. Our Mishnah clearly assumes that you can deduce one Chiyuv from another. The entire first few blot of the Gemara are trying to deduce all of the Chiyuv Nezikin from one of the Avos, or from two of the Avos. Right, it's clearly assuming that once you have Avos Nezikin, you're allowed to be Onesh Min Adin. Once you know the certain categories, there are certain principles, you're allowed to deduce all the other Chiyuvim from them. Similarly, the Rashba on Beis Amud Beis says that the Mechilta never really meant to say that there's no Onesh Min Adin for Nezikin. All it meant to say is that there's no Onesh Min Adin for Bor. Why? He explains that there's no logic for Bor. There's no rationale for Bor. It doesn't make any sense. So if it doesn't make any sense, you can't make any deductions from it. Right? It's a chiddush, and the chabal a chidusha. Right? So the Rashi basically tries to downplay the Mechilta. Second raya in Chazal is the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that if you send a shliach to burn down a field for you on your behalf, and he does it, he is chayav to compensate the owner of the field, not you. Why? Very simply, ein shliach dvar avera. Apparently, burning down someone's field is a dvar avera, such that he cannot be a shliach for you. We don't say shlucha shalim kamoso because it's a dvar avera. Good. The Gemara in Bava Kamma daf nun aleph med aleph also says, it's trying to figure out how can you have a case where you have a bor shel shnei shutzvin. It suggests that you have one person tell his friend, go dig a bor for us in Rosh Hasharabim, for the both of us. Mar says that can't be because ein shliach dvar avera. It won't be that when he digs it on your behalf, that doesn't do anything. It's not shluchah shalom kamo, so ein shliach dvar avera. Good, again, the assumption of applying ein shliach dvar avera is clearly that there's something wrong with nezikin. Right, there's something reprehensible about doing nezikin. The third raya, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, daf lamed daled amud beis, applies the concept of kinlei v'drabim minei to nezikin. That if you do chavala to your parents, or if you do nezikin on Shabbos, you're putter. Why kinlei v'drabim minei? So he said here that apparently, right, risha achas at mechayva, liyat ha mechayva, shnei rishuyos, that you can't be mechayev two separate acts of wickedness. So apparently, nezikin, to be mechayev nezikin counts as being mechayev an act of rishus. Right? Again, clearly the assumption is that there's something wrong with doing nezikin.
Well, that might work even with mabit, right? I mean, that doesn't have to be a doraisa.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a doraisa. The truth is, I don't know if any of them have to be doraisa. Oh, actually, the mechalta has to be a doraisa. But the shliach dvar avera, I think we generally say shliach dvar avera for darabanans also. And shliach dvar avera for darabanans. That's a whole question of Mishnah Melech.
Kimle has to be for there. There's no onshin for Darabonim, so how can you have Kimle for Darabonim?
Is that not true? That if the Rabbanan are...
There's no onshin for
Well, it's not. It's, well, I mean, it's a monetary fine.
Right.
So, if the... Interesting question. Meaning, if the Torah was mechayev you and it wasn't an onesh, and the Rabbanan came along and said it's an iser. Okay, fine. I mean, that's a fair response, but I think it's like a somewhat open question. Yeah.
Does
you hear that point or no?
It's a redefined.
No, but it's still weird. I mean, the Torah says you're chayev money, so kimli would still work.
If it's not an onesh at all, right? If the Torah just quid pro quo, right? Like you do nezik and you have to pay. Right, so we wanted to suggest that if there was nothing wrong with doing nezikin, you can give them the punishment for doing chaval on your parents or for burning down for being mechal Shabbos and still be mechayev tashlumin because it's not a punishment; it's just a natural consequence of your action.
I think even in that framework, you could still formulate it as a risha. Not fully quid pro quo like the mabit, it's quid pro quo midaraisa, and then it could be formulated as some sort of risha.
Right. So that I think that's an open question. Right? I think that's a fair question. Does everyone hear the question? So just to repeat it, so you're basically saying that even if the Isser Nezikin is just a Rabbanan, you might say that alone is sufficient to apply Kim Levi D'Rabbine. So that even though on a Doraisa level, if you were to burn down a field on Shabbos, you should be Chayav both for Shabbos and for burning down the field because the Tashlumin is simply quid pro quo. It's simply a natural consequence of your actions. Even so, once the Chachamim came along and Aser Nezikin, so then we would apply Kim Levi D'Rabbine.
Are you asking only when there's an Isser D'Rabbanan, or I feel if there's no Isser D'Rabbanan?
I mean, yeah, for a lot of these, it might work even with no Isser. I mean, all these would work if there is just an Isser D'Rabbanan. All the rides so far have made it in the code.
Right. I mean, and then Adam's question on this for the D'Rabbanan.
That's, you say there's no Isser.
You're asking a different question than Kim Levi. That's what you need.
Yeah, so you're saying it doesn't really need to be an onesh at all for Kim Levi. And I think we did kind of discuss that possibility in Shir. But I just don't want to go into that so much. Yeah. Sorry, can you say your name?
Eliba.
Oh. What's up? It's,
even if there is now in Yisrael D'Rabbanan, why would that necessarily change the status of the Tashlumin from quid pro quo? If only such that it would be something to say. Who's to say that now where they weren't connected before, now they are connected?
Right, so I think that kind of is part of the open question for like this for this issue, right? Meaning, did the Rabbanan come along and change the Chiyuv Tashlumin with their Isser? Did they come along and change the Chiyuv Tashlumin from not a quid pro quo to a more of an onesh type of punishment, type of payment? But yeah, I think it's a fair objection. Okay, good, fine. So the Kinlei V'Drabbine might be a good raya, might not be a great raya. Okay, it's a little bit of an open question. Fine. So that's in terms of whether there is an Israel Hazik, machlokes between the Mabit and most of the Rishonim, and then the evidence in Chazal that seems to be overwhelming that there is a tendency to assume that there's an Israel Hazik. Okay, so if there's an Israel Hazik, what's the basis? What's the rationale for the Israel Hazik? So we can point to four main perspectives here. So the first one, found in the Rabbeinu Yonah on Avos, Rabbeinu Yonah groups the Dinim of Nezikin, the Israel Nezikin, in the lav of Lo Tigzol. Right, and he explains Moshe kibal Torah miSinai, Masal Yeshua, Bein Torah Shmeksa, Bein Torah Shvalpe. Shatorah beferusha nitna sheim lokein iafshal meidaba sherei kasuv lo sigzol v'chol nezikim bechal also alav. Explains that the reason why you need Torah Shmeksav v'Torah Shvalpeh to be handed down is because you need the tradition in order to know that certain dinim are included in other dinim, like nezikin being included in lo sigzol. Right, so clearly he's assuming that the lav of nezikin is a derivative of the isser of stealing. We suggest that this is what the Tur had in mind when the Tur in Siman Shin Ayin Ches says kashem she'asur ligno v'ligzol mamon chaveiro kach asur lahazik mamon shelo. Just like it's asur to steal, it's also asur to damage someone's property. Okay, again, seeming to create an equation between these two things. Finally, we pointed to Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, where Tosfos says, or Rabbi Natan says, that the din of Adam Hamazik, the Av Nezikin of Adam Hamazik, is learned from the pasuk Ki Yignov Ish Shor. Right, Ki Yignov Ish Shor is apparently the source for the din of Adam Hamazik, which is clearly a pasuk about Geneva. Right, so if you're learning Adam Hamazik from a pasuk about Geneva, it seems like you think Adam Hamazik is a derivative of the concept of Geneva. Okay, that's the first rationale. The second rationale can be found in the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Yud Aleph, where the Minchas Chinuch wants to know if a Jew has a Goy's Chametz on Pesach, is he allowed to just burn that Chametz? And he says, yeah, you're allowed to burn it. Why? Because it wouldn't be stealing from the Goy. That might be Usur. This is just Mazik. This is just damaging what the Goy has. And that's only applicable to Jews, because the Isser of Nezikin is based on the Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda. And there's no Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda to Goyim. Says, Tegam b'Yisrael nirad lahavei rak mikoch da Torah tzivsa lahashiv aveda so mikol shekein shalol lahaziko aval b'goy lo shayach zeh. So he says that you can't have an Isra lahazik for a Goy if the whole basis for the Isra lahazik is a kol shekein of Hashavas Aveda. That's the Minchas Chinuch suggestion. Okay, a third perspective on the Isra Lahazik is found in the Bach, where the Bach argues that the Isra Lahazik should really be rooted in the Isra Bal Tashchis, where the Gemara says that you're not even allowed to destroy your own fruit, your own trees, right? So if you can't destroy your own property, of course you can't destroy other people's property. Again, the idea here is that it's just an Isra to be wasteful, just an Isra to destroy something that's productive in this world. That's the Bach in Shin Ayin Ches Aleph. Just to point out, Rav Rosenzweig was clearly assuming that the Rambam is against this, because Rav Rosenzweig read the case in Chovah L'Mazik Hey Yud Aleph, where you are Marsha a Mazik to destroy your property, right? But you don't say Al Menas that you're Potter. You permit him to destroy your property, but you don't say Al Menas that you're Potter, and the din is that you're Chayav. Rav Rosenzweig read that as a case of Chiyuv Tashlumen without an Isra Lahazik. Right, so clearly, if you read that as a case of Chiyuv Tashlumen without an Isra Lahazik, you're clearly assuming that the Isra Lahazik is not based on destroying something good. It's not just based on being wasteful. Yeah? No? Okay, a little blank phases on that. Okay. It's not such an important point, but okay. And then the final raya, the final makor for the Isra Lahazik, the fourth perspective, is that there's a special din for Nezikin. There's a special Isser for Nezikin, and this is found in Rabbeinu Hananel and Rav Chaim, where they quote the Pasuk of V'lo Yishmerenu Be'alav as the Mukkar for Nezikin. Now, the Pasuk in the Pasuk just means that if you don't watch your shore, you're Chayav Tashlumin. They read it as an imperative that you wrongfully didn't watch your shore. You have to watch your shore. Okay, that's how they read that Pasuk. So that's the Isser for the Din of Nezikin. Now, I'd point out that if this is true, so there's what to say on how does this relate to Adam Hamazik, right? Because this is a pasuk for Nizkei Mamon, that you have to guard your animals. So if that's the Makor, so how does Adam Hamazik relate to Nizkei Mamon? So I think Itamar just told me that apparently Rav Chaim and the Brisker Rav wanted to be Medayik in the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph. I don't know if anyone's gotten there yet, but where the Gemara is talking about how to read the Mishnah, whether Mave is Adam or Shane. And according to the opinion that it's Adam, so the Gemara wants to know, why does it say Shmiras on Alecha? It should have just said Shmiras Gufo Alav. Gemara says, yeah, you should just say Shmiras Gufo Alav. So some people, so Rav Chaim wants to be Medayik, that from that Gemara, we see that the Israel Ahazik, or that the Mechayev of Nizke Adam, is a Chi of Shmira on yourself. Right, so you have to guard yourself from doing damages. So you have a chiyah shmira on yourself. When you don't, you're chayav tashlumin for that. Right, so if that's true, then it would actually kind of make sense that the chiyah of nizikin of nizke adam of adam hamazik can be a derivative of nizke mamon. Right, just like there's a chiyah shmira on your mamon, and that's what's mechayiv you, and that's what the isra of tashlumin, that's what the isra of nizikin is. So too on yourself, on adam hamazik. Okay, great. Okay, now a third question. So those are like the four main perspectives on the Israel Hazik in general. Now we want to know, are there certain Isurim that we can point to include certain cases of Nezikin? Okay, so what do I mean? So the first thing we can point to is the Meshech Chachma in Vayikra, where the Meshech Chachma says that the din of Nizke Bor, specifically, fits into the Isra of Lifnei Iver. Right, so not all Nezikin would be also necessarily, but at least Nizke Bor would be considered Lifnei Iver. Right? It says, Lifnei Iver Lifnei Mikshol, Hakusim, Mefarshim Kim Mashmo, Shloitin, Evan, Lifnei Iver, Bederach Lahapilo, Vechenu MS, Umize Azhar, Lefoseach, Lekore Bor, Bishru Sarabim. It says, that's the Isser of Bor, Bishru Sarabim. And it says, that's why the Gemara applies Ainshli Achadvar Vera for someone digging a Bor on behalf of his friend. Right, the Gemara we quoted before, that's why the Gemara has that. It's Lifnei Iver, that's the Isra that's involved. Then he says, not only in Rosh Hashanah, but even in your own property, it would be usher to dig a bor. Because of Losasim Damim Vesecha. Not allowed to have dangerous objects around that are going to cause damage, going to cause death in your own house. Okay? So that's for Nizke Bor. A second area, a second, I guess, kind of like ancillary case where we can point to for an Isser is Grumma bin Ezekin. So the Yad Raman Baba Basra Chavav Mer Aleph says that even though Grumma bin Ezekin is Pater, it's still Aser. And he gives two Mekoros for it. He suggests that either it's because of Ehav Tel Recha Kamocha, or he says it's because of Lifnei Iver. One similar Makar, the Rashash in Ksuvis Daf Yud Chesem Beis, is also trying to find a Makar, is also assuming that Grumma bin Ezekin is Aser. And he says that Grumma bin Ezekin is also as a kol came from Hashavas Aveda. So again, an appeal to a different halacha, to a different isser, to a different mitzvah, in order to explain a certain ancillary case of Grumma bin Ezekin. Finally, the Rush in Shuvos Klach Kufcha Simen Yud says that Harchakos Nezekin are part of the principle of Derachei HaDarachei Noam. That you can't even come close to causing Nezekin, you have to separate yourself very far from causing any Nezekin because of Derachei HaDarachei Noam. Okay, now let's deal with our next question. What is the scope of the Israel Hazik? Can we distinguish between different types of Nezikin? So I think the first distinction to point to is Meshech Chachma that we just quoted, that perhaps the Israel Nezikin is Davka for Nizke Bor. That's like one level to draw the point at. What's up? Oh, look, you're ready to like attack or something. Okay. That's one level to draw a distinction. Another level, and we spent some time on this in Shir, is that perhaps there's an Isser to be Mazik B'Adayim, but there's no Isser to allow your money to do Nezikin. Nizke Adam is Aser, Nizke Mamun would not be. So what evidence do we have, whether there is a distinction or not? So we noted that the She'iltos has two separate Isurim L'Hazik. He's a little cryptic, Kuf Yod Aleph and Samach Beis. We suggested that the reason why he has two separate Isurim is to say that both Nizke Adam and Nizke Mamon are both Aser. This is clear in the Tur, where the Tur in Shinai and Ches says what we just read, Kishem She'aser Ligno V'Ligzol Kach Aser L'Hazik Mamon Shalo. There's an Israel L'Hazik V'Yadayim. And then in Shin Pei Tes, when he's talking about Nizke Mamon, he says, Kishem She'aser L'Adam She'azik Es Chaver V'Im Hizik Chayav Shalim Kach Tzarech Lishmar Mamono Shalo Yazik. There's an imperative to watch your Mamon so it doesn't do Nezikin. Just like there's an Isser to be Mazik B'Adayim. So the Tur clearly equates the Isser Nizke Adam to the Chiyuv Shmira of Nizke Mamon.
In that
that says that even though he would apply it in both places, we see that the makor would be from the Adayim, even though he could cut somebody short. He's saying that once you know that it applies by mazik biadayim, so then you could apply it to other things. And you're saying based on that, somebody else, you could have heard that somebody only says that there's the isser when it comes to.
Yeah, I mean, our question is whether you can say it just for niskei adam, not for niskei mamon. So far, we've seen two makoros that we've said do not embrace that distinction, meaning that they think that the isser applies bein b'niskei adam, bein b'niskei mamon. We'll see in a second that some people disagree and some people think it's just for niskei adam. Right, so for the She'iltos and the Tur, we're suggesting, say that there's an Isser Lahazik both for Niske Adam and for Niske Mamon. The Rambam is even clearer than the Tur, even more clear than the Tur. For the Rambam in Niske Mamon, in Chovah L'mazik, Hey Yud Gimel, makes it pretty clear that there is an Isser Lahazik B'Yadayim, an Isser Niske Adam. That's the Rambam where he talks about sending someone to do Nezikin for on your behalf, and that even though that person who does it is Chayav Tashlumen, you're a Shutaf in the Avera. And then the Rambam in Niskei Mamon, Hey Aleph, is pretty clear that there's an Isser Lahazik for Niskei Mamon. That it's usher to allow your animals to roam free if they're going to damage other people's property. So again, the She'iltos, the Tur, the Rambam, all pretty clear that there's an Isser Lahazik B'Yadayim, an Isser Niskei Adam, and also an Isser Niskei Mamon. The Shulchan Aruch seems to drop the Tur's Isser Niskei Mamon. So the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes in Shinai and Ches, he basically works off the Tur. He says, Isser Lahazik Mamon Chaveiro. And then in Shin Pei Tes, he says, Kol nefesh chaya shu bershusa shal adam shehizika, chayavim habaylim l'shalim. So for Shinai and Ches, when he's talking about Niske Adam, he says there is an Isser Lahazik, not allowed to do damages. In Shin Pei Tes, when he's talking about Niske Mamon, he simply says that if your money does nizik and you have to pay. He doesn't mention at all Achiv Shmira and Isser Lahazik. So it seems like the Shulchan Aruch didn't think there was an Isser Lahazik for Niske Mamon.
Where was that?
Shinai and Ches, and then Shin Pei Tes. Good? Clear? Mm-hmm. Any questions? Okay. One final place to draw the line for different types of Nezikin is the question of Grumma b'Nezikin. So the Gemara in Bava Basra on Dachav Beis Medbeis very simply says, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Zos Amaris Grumma b'Nezikin Aser. Gemara says that Grumma b'Nezikin is Aser. So not only does an Isser apply to a regular case of Nezikin where there is Tashlumin, but there's even an Isser Nezikin when there's no Chi of Tashlumin, like cases of Grumma. Now we might wonder whether the Isser Nezikin of Grumma has the same characteristics of the Isser Nezikin in general. The same scope, the same types of cases that's going to include. So for example, the Me'iri in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, gives a lot of cases of Grumma, and he says, yes, there's an Isser Lahazik, but then he says, "V'harbe chayotze ba'elu sheheim grama upatzer ela sheyesh mayam shapatzer af bedine shemayim v'hu she'ein kavanaso klal lahazik ki hu yodeya ta'alumo slave." That if you don't have any kavanah to be mazik, then in case of grama benezikin, there's no isra even. There's not even a thiyu bide shemayim. So it sounds like for regular nezikin, there'd be an isra bein b'meiz bein b'shogig bein eskavin bein lo eskavin. But for Grumma b'Nezikin, you dafka need to have Kavana in order to violate the Isser Nezikin. Right, so even though there is an Isser Nezikin in Grumma, it might have a different characteristic, different rules than regular Nezikin. Good? Yes? Okay. Now let's jump to our next question. So what are the characteristics of the Isser Lahazik? So we can ask this in terms of a few different questions. So the first question we want to pose is how severe of an Isser this is. For example, does this create a psul edus? So the Bach in Lamed Daled Yud Beis, Choshen Mishpat, quotes Rav Mordechai, who quotes Rabbeinu Yakir, who says that someone who's mazik is psul edus as a rasha de chamas. Almost no one agrees with this. Almost no one thinks that there is an psul edus for mazik. So even if there's an isra lahazik, there might not be a psul edus based on it. So this seems to be a machlokas between the Bach or Rabbeinu Yakir against most people. Okay, that's one question. Another question. Is the Isser totally rectified with proper restitution? Once you pay whatever you've done, have you completed the process of being atoned for the Isser? So the Rambam in Chovel Hey Tes says that this is a difference between Chavala and Nezikin. Ein adome mazik chaver begufo lemazik mamono. Shamazik mamon chavero kevan shashile mashu chayev l'shalim neskaper lo. That once for Nezikin, once you pay whatever you're obligated, you're granted atonement. You've completed whatever you needed to do. Okay, so it doesn't that seem like a little bit of theory on the Rambam? Well, I mean that's not a stira, but the Rambam doesn't just say that you don't need pious. He says once you pay hamazik mamon chavero kevan shashilim mashu chayav l'shalim niskaper lo.
Yeah, but he's comparing it to chovel here. He's only focusing by chovel about asking for mechila. He's not talking about shuva. Seems that it's just in general.
So he's just being imprecise. You're saying.
Have to do shuva, and then he's differentiating in terms of mechila.
So you're saying he's just being imprecise about what you need for nizikin.
But he also doesn't say you need a tshuva for chovel here. He just says you need to ask mechila. Before an alaf alaf, he says you need tshuva. And here he's talking about a specific name, chovel mazik.
I mean, he does say, I mean, what's vafilu hikriv kol alien bios?
I don't know, what does that mean?
I don't know, sounds like some part of Carbano's thing now. Yeah, I'm saying, well, what's that feel of hikrif kol alien bios?
No, it's even if you pay him, it's exorbitant amount of money.
So
you pay way more than
you owe it. Okay, fine. So you're saying you're just not addressing the question of tshuva, you're just addressing the question of pious. Okay, fine, fair. Okay. Good. So then the Rambam is consistent. We'll go with that. It's consistent in Shuva Aleph Aleph, where he says that for Nezikin, even once you pay, you still need to do Shuva. You still need to do Vidoy to be Niskaver. Good? And this is in contrast to Beis Tes in the Rambam and Shuva, where the Rambam is talking about Bein Adam L'Chavero, L'Averos Bein Adam L'Chavero, like Zela and Chavala, where it's not sufficient to simply restore whatever you've done, but you also need to ask mechila. Good? Okay. Does anyone know any, now I'm thinking about it. Does anyone know any makoros that once you pay, you're good for nezikin? That there is no need for vidui or tshuva?
No.
You do not. Okay, so that'd be an interesting question.
Thank you, Micah.
It's like reminds me of, like, the Grach story. Dr. Grach, like, apparently, like, asked, like, one time, like, does Rashi say this anywhere? And, like, someone, like, responded, no. To which I think Grach kicked him out, probably, and then left him. And then probably left himself, so. Okay. Yeah, that'd be an interesting question, right? If there's, like, a mucker that explicitly thinks that once you restore whatever you've done, once you pay whatever nezikin you've done, that alone is the atonement, right? You don't need to do anything else. I mean, presumably the Ma'abit would say something along those lines, right? But our question is, even if there is an Isser Daraisa, is the Isser Daraisa totally rectified once you pay? Or do you also need Juba? Okay? So if anyone sees any Makoros on that, definitely bring it up. It's definitely a good Makar.
Well, apparently
Micah.
But...
Micah, you're going to look into that today. You did not look into that. You were too busy thinking of those questions.
No,
all right. Okay, I think the third way we can speak about the characteristic of the Isser L'Chazik is whether it creates some sort of societal need, societal demand, to remove Mazikin from existence. So it sounds very philosophical. So the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that's what the Gemara is, talks about Izi the Shuka, these animals which are grazing and potentially causing damage. And the Gemara wants to know whether you're allowed to simply kill those animals in order to prevent them from doing damage. That's the Gemara. So the way the Tosfos and the Ravid read that case is that it's simply animals which are about to be shechted anyway. You can shech them a day early, 2 days early, whatever, even though it might cause a slight loss to the owners, because they're going to do damage. So you can prevent that. Rav Haigon reads the case very differently. He says that if there's any animals wandering around, doesn't matter whether they're about to be shechted or not, and you warn the owners to watch their animals, and they don't, then anyone who wants can come along, shech the animal, sell it themselves, and then give the money to the owners. In order, he says, "Kedei lahasir hazekam v'itein demehen lebalim." In order to remove the hezek, right? So once these animals are doing damage, once they're a damaging force, anyone who wants is allowed to come along and remove these damages. So it seems like the isser lahazik, the isser to allow your animals to roam free, grants anyone in society the right to remove that force from existence. To take matters into their own hands and just simply shech the animal. Okay? Slightly different perspective we get in the Rambam. He also reads the case as simply any animal that's roaming, you have the right to prevent the animal from doing a zikin. But it's not a societal right to remove mazikim from existence. It's a property right that field owners, that landowners have to remove potential mazikim from them. That the Isser Lahazik, the fact that this guy's not allowed to allow his animals to roam free, to potentially graze in your field, grants you rights to preemptively strike against the animal, against the potential mazik. Okay, that's the Rambam in Iske Mamon, Hay Aleph. Right here, the Rambam says, Omer Lechavero. Nope, we're in the wrong one. I don't have it here. Anyone? This is why I said generally follow the order of the sheets. In case I forgot to put a mucker on. Behema Shais Roa, Upirisha, Venechan Sabasados, Bechramim, Afabisha, Dain, Lozika, Masim Vala, Shlosha Pamim. In lo shamar behem to velo mana miliros yesh reshus the balasa the lishkar was a shchita kshira the omer the balea bo machru basar shalachem mipnei she also the adam lahazik l'shal mashe hezek. Right, so there's a causal relationship between the iser lahazik, between the iser to allow your animals to run free, and the permission of the baal hasadeh to go and shech the animals. Right, so the iser is what grants the rights to the nizak. Okay, so this is kind of what leads us into Rosenzweig's explanation for what the Isser is doing in Nezikin in general, especially for the Rambam. So he wanted to suggest that the purpose for the Isser Nezikin is simply to widen the scope of cases which we would consider Nezikin. It's to redefine what we consider Nezikin. It's not to characterize the entire concept of Nezikin, like Gezela is to characterize the concept of Gezela, like Geneva. It's not to do that. It's simply to work alongside the Chiyuv Tashlumin in parallel fashion in defining what we consider Nezikin. So what evidence do we have for this? So first of all, the Rambam doesn't mention the Isser LaHazik in the beginning of Nizkei Mamon or in the beginning of Chov LaMazik, even though he clearly recognizes that they exist. And this is very unusual. The Rambam almost always is going to start off things that have an Isser with that Isser. Right, so why does the Rambam not begin Hilchos Nizkei Mamon with the Isser LaHazik? Why is he not being in Chol Mazik with the Isser LaHazik? And when he does bring it up, he simply uses it to have two Mechudash Dinim. One is the one we just read, that the Nizak has certain preemptive rights against the potential Mazik, right? And the second is to tell you that even though if you send someone else to do damages, Ein Shliach Advar Avera tells us that the Shliach is Chayav. Nonetheless, because of the Isser LaHazik, you're a shutaf in the Avera. You're included in the Avon. Somehow you're involved in that Avera. I would also note, not only the Rambam, but Shua found a good Tosos Rid in Kiddushin, where Tosos Rid says that the nafka mina of the fact that you sent him to do the Nezikin, even though Ein Shliach Advar Avera, is that if it's impossible to collect from that Shliach, the Nizak has the right to collect from you, the Mishalayach. Right, so not only like are you a shutaf in the avon and like a you share in the guilt sense, but you also have monetary obligations to the Nizak in certain cases. Tosfos Rid, Kiddushin, and Beis Mabiz. Like on that Gemara. I'll read it to you. That I think I have. No, I don't. I got messed up with my Makoro sheet. How do you not put me on the printer? It's just the computer. No, I don't have it. Alright. If anyone wants to find it quickly, they can, though. Micah? You're on it?
Doesn't exist.
If it doesn't exist, I mean Shua typed it up into his Makoro sheet to prepare for the...
Wouldn't be the first time.
Okay, Micah, you have it, or are you looking for it or no? All right, maybe he made it up.
Oh, here, kind of.
Oh. Good mucker. Okay, so Rosenberg basically wants to explain that what the Isser and Ezekiel is doing for the Rambam, perhaps not for this Tosos Rid also, is that it's simply redefining the scope of what is considered Ezekiel. So before Ezekiel, like intuitively, the concept of Ezekiel would be to go and to go to your friend and simply destroy his property. The Rambam is telling you that even allowing your property to roam free, to create the potential of the Isser of Nezikin, to create the potential of the damage, that itself constitutes a Maisa Nezek. That itself is included in the concept of Nezikin, such that it allows the Nezek now rights to respond to that Nezek. Said a little differently, we shouldn't look at the case of Hey Aleph and Iske Mamon as a preemptive strike lest damages occur, but rather the Isser Nezikin tells us that we should look at this as if it's already a Maisa Nezek, as if this is already included in the Parsha of Nezikin. Is that clear?
Are there Chedesh that equally is so that shachting the Mazik or Mazik is also considered a Tashlumen to that act of Hezek?
What do you mean? That's a Tashlumen.
I mean, if we're considering the fact that it's might be Mazik you as an active Nezek, right? You can quit pro core, you're able to get paid back for that, right? And the payment that you can receive is shachting.
Did we say that?
I mean, that comes out from the notion that this is still the gather quit pro quo.
Not that.
No. Why do you shaft for the animal?
Meaning, because even if it's not acting as a human, but it means that because of you're afraid that somebody's, you're going to come to him needing to pay you back that money, so now you don't have, now you can say, listen, I want to stop it before it even happens. I want to prevent you needing to do it.
Wait, did we say that in Shiloh or not?
I don't think it was ever explicit, but uh-huh. I certainly thought that was.
Okay, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have just thought that simply that once you're in the parsha of Nezikin, the Nezek has the right to respond to that. I mean, that's the Chiddush.
So everyone's masking that if it's actually being masked, you can kill it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not omed l'shchita, even if it's not like why did the rabbi in the Tosfos turn around and say that he's already being masik stuff? Say it's only omed l'shchita.
Interesting. I mean, you could have two separate machlokesim, right? You could have one machlokes about whether the Nezek has the right to respond in general to remove Mazikin from him, from his property, and then a separate question of whether this is considered a Mazik on his property if he hasn't done the damage yet. Right? And the Isser tells you the second one of those Kiddushim, that even before the actual Nezikin, it's considered a Mazik, and then the Rambam Shita is independently.
Totally distinct from that is the head
yeah.
to kill the.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's an interesting suggestion. I just didn't think about that.
That was the
interesting.
Quote too.
Okay. Interesting. So that is the fee of Tashlumin. It's the fact that you have the right to shachet.
Very broad sense, yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right, I mean, that kind of changes like what we mean by Tashlumin, but...
Well, same way we would change what we mean by Mizikin.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Those go hand in hand.
It's not good, those go hand in hand. That's kind of Rosenberg's point, is that like Nezikin, the Isser Nezikin and the Chiyuv Tashlumin don't go hand in hand. Like, they're like two parallel things. Like, one is like the Chiyuv Tashlumin that addresses most cases of Nezikin, and then the Isser, which is just meant to broaden the scope of what's considered Nezikin.
As soon as you put other people at risk, so then it becomes like you're damaging themselves.
But not that the Isser Nezikin and the Chiyuv Tashlumin are like intertwined or like inextricably linked.
I don't think you have to say that they are.
Okay. Right, okay. Stop, Charlie.
Yeah, I thought Adam...
Should put up to a vote.
Now that Joey said it, I think
I'm done. According to Adam, Adam, you were saying that it's not, not considered mice and edit, no?
No, I am.
You still consider the letting the animal roam being a nice mice and edit?
Yeah.
So I did not think like that.
Well, that's certainly what Revy was saying.
That wasn't? That is a mice and edit to what?
Yeah, he was definitely
that's
saying
that.
That's
certainly what Revy was saying.
Yeah, that part was pretty clear. I don't think we ever pressed him on, like, why, like, so what? Like, why does that grant the NESAC the right to...
Can you go over the rationale for that?
What?
Can you go over the rationale for that? I mean, I missed it. What's the rationale for saying that?
That it is a mice and Isaac? Yeah. Meaning that the... Reverend's like suggesting that the Isser and Ezekin tells you that not only destroying people's properties in Ezekin, but even exposing people to the potential of their property being destroyed. Meaning, even just simply allowing your animal to roam free is included in what is considered Ezekin. Right, simply creating that opportunity, creating that potential for a Nezikin is included in the concept of what Nezikin is.
You don't need to go that far. Like at all. You just say, you know, you're towing the line or that's not service to the line.
Right, and then
was there a reason Rebbe needs to go that far to say
instead of just saying it's like a preemptive strike against the Nezikin. I don't know if there's like a direct reason why he needed to go that far. I think he was suggesting that, like that's like a very coherent explanation for what the Isser is doing in Ezekin, right? Because the Isser is not playing a central role. It's kind of just being brought up for like these ancillary cases. Like, why is he bringing up the ancillary cases? Rose was like suggesting that it's to bring them up to explain that like the like what we mean by Ezekin is actually broader than we would have thought. That like the Isser tells us that the scope of Ezekin is wider. And like that's why you're a shutef in the avera even when you just send someone to do it, and that's why this is considered as you can even when you're just allowing your animal to roam free and potentially damage. That's what he suggested. I mean, I don't know if there's like a more direct need to go this far and say that this is a mice in Ezekiel as opposed to just a permission for a preemptive strike.
Well, it gets close to justifying the other shita.
Okay, so I guess so. So I mean, if you want to go with Adam, that this is a meisa nezek, and then the shlita is the tashlumin that he owes you now for doing this in Zikin. Like your right to shecht is the tashlumin that he owes you for doing this in Zikin. So you need to mamashay that it's like actually in a Zikin. Now you're just like digging a deeper hole, but
I'm okay with that. I'm in a pretty deep hole already.
Skiach
reishpar.
What's up?
How does that fit in? Meaning, if we're saying that or the fact that I can take matters to my own hands because you have not watched your dog, you know, your dog is eating my homework, what does that fall under Veloy Shmarenu?
It's a very personal example, it seems like.
I'm just like an example.
So,
meaning, like, would he agree with the rock? That, like, the issue?
Meaning, could he agree with the rock, or, like, does he agree with the rock? I think he could. Like, why? What's like? What would be the issue with agreeing with that? That like, it's a.
No, that's my question.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's no problem with agreeing with it. I don't think he's committed to it either. Meaning, I don't think.
You don't think they're like, oh, that's like his mucker for why it's innocent. Meaning, the fact that I'm allowed to do it just works hand in hand with that. Once you don't watch your animal, oh, that's the issue of Veloy Shmarenu. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't have to. I mean, like, okay. I mean, I don't know if you have to say that because you could just say that like. The Isser Niske Mamo is simply like any time your property damages, you are chayav simply because it's like an extension of like your actions, and like because of that, it's usher to like allow your animals to just go around damaging because like it's as if you're damaging. So like, I don't know if he's like committed to like the chayav shmira on animals necessarily. Yeah, I think the Rambam does talk about the chayav shmira on the animals though elsewhere, but. Just not remembering it right now. Yes, I don't know. What's up?
Could this be drawn as kind of a monetary parallel to dealing with Rodif, especially dealing with like Kabbalah Machteris in the sense that it's not just that the Nirdaf is permitted to strike back, but that the Rodif actually high in the formal sense, within a Kilo Rabine applies. So if, I guess we relate that to here, you know, once you engage with a Maisenezek, now has the formal
chiyuv
imposed on him because he's entered himself into that category.
Okay, why does that help?
It explains, I guess, why, you know, he now has the right to
Well, it doesn't obviously explain that, because you could just say, okay, he's involved in a formal Mycenaezek, and like, let's say you were going over someone's field and burning their field down, right? Do I have the right to like chop off your hand, or do I just say like I have the right now to bring you to court and exact payment? So like that's like a clear cut case of like Nazikin, and like it's not clear exactly what rights you have to defend your property at that point.
If we maintain the parallels, if you witness an act of murder, you also can't then go kill the person on the spot and take it to court.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it'd be interesting. I just don't know if like what evidence we have for that question of like you're about like you seem about to do Nazikin.
That's the whole. I mean, I wrote that for her because he has a chiyuv misa because he's doing a matzah tzicha. It's very much because he's doing a matzah tzicha. Not like by Nazikin, you never chiyuv misa for doing tzicha. That wouldn't just like shut the matzah ever.
You're not going
to be after. Yeah. So the animal doesn't have chiyuv misa either for the tzadish on this hole.
You can stick with your idea that
a lot of
that maybe for tzicha.
Take the animal.
One of their
cognition or not.
Okay. Close call.
So I'm saying that's the equivalent of killing the
over there. How do you factor in your halachah b'chameiv already? You can't kill the road. Like I don't know if it's a good question.
Yeah, no. The Gemara says that if you were able to do it without killing the shore, so then you have to do it whatever way that would keep the other shore intact. Meaning that you have to go based on the way that...
Okay, I think it's an interesting suggestion. I think we're getting a little bit off topic, but definitely worth keeping in mind, though. Definitely an interesting suggestion. Okay. Okay, and if this account is right, that the Isra Nazikin is working in parallel with the Chiyuv Tashlumin, so it wouldn't be surprising to see cases where you have a Chiyuv Tashlumin without an Isra, or cases of Isra Nazikin without Tashlumin. Right, so we already mentioned the possibility that Grumo would fit the second bill, right? Case of Isra Nazikin without Chiyuv Tashlumin. We suggested, I kind of mentioned this before, that Chovel Heyud Aleph is of the former, where you have a Chiyuv Tashlumin because the guy never says Amanata your Pater when he allows you to destroy his property, but you have no Isser because once he gives you permission to destroy his property, what would the Isser be? He's granted you the right to do this. Right, so that might be a case where you have a chiyuv tashlumin without an isser nezikin. Right, so if that's true, then this suggestion of the isser nezikin kind of is reinforced that like it's working in parallel to the chiyuv tashlumin. It's not like working inextricably linked to the chiyuv tashlumin. Right, the isser, there's a chiyuv tashlumin, that's what defines most of nezikin. There's an isser nezikin which defines certain ancillary cases, but they're very divorced from each other. Okay, and then one final issue for the characteristics of the Isser is what happens if you have a case of Suffolk. So he quoted the Rashba on Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara suggests that maybe for Mechuberes, for a horn that's still attached to the animal, it's always Muad, never Tom. And only when it's detached and the animal like takes it between its teeth to go gore something, that's when it's going to be a case where you can distinguish between Muad and Tam. The Rosh wants to know, why don't you just say everything's Tam? And Gadra, but don't say everything's Muad, say everything's Tam. Right? Amotz mechaver l'varaya, we should say that everything is Tam, we always make him pay less. And he says, no, you can't say that. V'yeshomar da'adra, but Nezikin sveika the two, l'hachmir ki isurin. That we're machmir on Nezikin like isurin. Right? So he's clearly applying the concept of Isser to say that we say Safik l'hachmir. Good. I point out we kind of alluded to this Chassam Sofer, but I don't know if we ever quoted it in full. Where the Chassam Sofer in Yoredeya Chelak Beis Simon Reish Mem Aleph explains that the reason why we say Safik LaHachmir for Isurin is because all of Nezikin is a geder for the mitzvah Sasei Shmartim Ma'od LeNafsho Seichem and for the Lo Sasei of Al Tam Al Adam Reacha, and Hashem decided or realized what chiyuvim he should put in place in order to maximally deter people from doing nezikin. So Hashem decided that when he makes people pay chatzin nezik for tam and nezik shalim for muad, that's gonna deter people from doing nezik. That's gonna allow people to guard their animals properly. And he says because of that, so we have to be machmir in the case of suffolk. in order to deter people from doing the zikin, we're going to place the greater chiyuv on the mazik. Okay, now I'm not sure how people like that logic or not, but it's very interesting to some so far in terms of the fact that he's basically arguing that the system of nezikin is to minimize loss in society, right? He's basically saying that the way we set up the chiyuvim and the psurim in nezikin is simply to maximally deter all cases of nezikin, simply to avoid any monetary loss for throughout all of nezikin. It's a very interesting conception of what Din and nezikin are doing. Okay, now our final question. So if there is an Isra Lahazik, so is that the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin? Right, so we've discussed whether there is an Isra Lahazik, what the rationale would be for it, what the scope of it is, what the characteristics of the Isra is. Now we want to know, or characteristics of the Isra are. So now we want to know if there is an Isra Lahazik, as they are, if there is an Isra Lahazik, is that the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin? So the Levush in Simon Shin Ayin Chesif Aleph derives an Isra Lahazik from the fact that there are Chiyuvei Tashlumen. Says, Mi dechayva Torah b'kama makomos, esa adam amazik mamon chaver l'shalem, kemo shechayva begozo v'gonev mamon chaver l'shalem, kedechsiv makeve ima yishalemena, v'chein b'shar nezikin shemazik chavero. From the fact that the Torah was mechayiv all these cases of nezikin, just like in Evan Gzela, shma minah, k'shem she'asu lignov ligzo mamon chavero, kach asher lahazik mamon shalom. So antecedent to the possibility of Chiyuv Tashlumen for the Levush is an Isra Lahazik. If there's Chiyuvei Tashlumin, that implies that there must be an Isra Lahazik. Right, so apparently the Isra Lahazik is what the basis is what's the basis for the Chiyuvei Tashlumin.
Where is this?
Shin Ayin Ches Aleph. Right, on that tour. On the Kishem Shasar Lignum.
The email Isaac sent has everything but those couple of Rambams that the source
you can
send. It's
true.
Here.
I gotta send an updated Makoro sheet. One of the ways of testing this, and this is what we discussed, might be to look to the case of Katan Shehizik. Why? Because if the Isser Nezikin is what determines the Chiyuv Tashlumin, then a Katan who can't be responsible for the Isser Nezikin can never be Chayav Tashlumin. But if the Chiyuv Tashlumin is totally divorced from the Isser Nezikin, so it's possible to say that even though a Katan can't violate the Isser Nezikin, he still could be responsible to pay once he grows up. So if we see that a katan shehizik, kevan shehigdil, is chayav, then we have to say that the Isser Nezikin is divorced from the Chiyuv Tashlumin. Is that clear?
It's not the Levush. The Levush says the Isser is derived from the Chiyuv Tashlumin. You can still have a Chiyuv Tashlumin if you just, in one particular place, you don't have an Isser.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, one more time. It's not the Levush because...
As in, the Levush is saying the Isser is just a layer on top of it.
I think Levush is saying the opposite. Levush is saying that the Isser is the basic level. Because he's saying that there couldn't have been a Chiyuv Tashlumin if not for the Isser. He's saying, we know from the fact that there is Chiyuv Tashlumin that there must be an Isser. So the basis is the Isser. Yeah. What? Not familiar?
Kofar.
Oh, yeah. It is similar. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It is actually very similar. But I mean, Kofar is not like I don't think his point is about the monetary payment. I thought his point is about the fact that you need kapara.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Okay. So the... So what evidence do we have in this question for Katan Shehigdil? Is it clear to everyone? That the point is that if a Katan Shehigdil is chayav for the Nezikin he did as a Katan, then clearly the Isser Nezikin can't be the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin. Because like, a Katan's never going to be culpable for the Isurim he violates when he's a Katan. Right? So if the Chiyuv Tashlumin is simply based on the Isser Nezikin, then a Katan, even once he grows up, will never be obligated for his Nezikin that he did as a Katan. Right? If the Isser Nezikin is totally divorced from the Chiyuv Tashlumin, then there's what to discuss. Right, because either you could say, yeah, he's going to be responsible for his actions simply because, like, we're going to impose monetary obligations on him, or you could say no, because since he doesn't have capabilities, we can't possibly obligate him for his monetary obligations that he did as a katan. Good, what to discuss. But once you say that he's chayav, you clearly don't think that the Isser Nezikin is the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin. Okay, So what do we have on this? So the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph and Bava Kamma gives two different cases of Turim for Chavala. So we have one is that Eved and Isha, Piyas and Ra'a, Hachoba ben Chaya, Behem Shechavu Ba'acher and Peturin. But then the Mishnah says, Aval Mishalmin La'achar Zman. So Eved and Isha, if they are Chovel, they don't pay at the time they do a damage. But if the Eved is freed, if the woman is divorced, then they have a Chiyuv. The Mishnah also gives the case of Chayr Shota V'Katan. The Mishnah says, Piyas and Ra'a, Hachoba ben Chaya, Behem Shechavu Ba'acher and Peturin. And that's the entire discussion of the Mishnah for the case of Chayr Shota V'Katan. The contrast between Katan, Chayr Shota V'Katan, and Eved and Isha implies that for Chayr Shota V'Katan, even after Higdil or Nisbakach, they're still going to be Pater. Right? The fact that the Mishnah does not say Mishalim L'Achar Zman for Chayr Shota V'Katan, but it does for Eved and Isha, implies that we don't say Mishalim L'Achar Zman for Katan.
But it says it in the opposite order. I mean, it's the first talks about Chayr Shota V'Katan.
Yeah, but it's very clear that it's talking about the Eved and Isha case. Because then the Mishnah goes on and says Niskarsha Yisha Nishtachar Eved Chayav Nishalim. Right? It's very clear that phrase is specifically a reference to Eved and Isha. So the Orza Rua and the Hagos Ashri. So the Orza Rua in Bava Kamma Gimel. Kuf Mem Gimel proves from the Gemara and Lamed Tesmet Aleph Lamed Tesmet Beis that a katan shehigdil is chayav l'shalim. So what's the Gemara there? The Gemara there says that a katan whose animals are going around goring were ma'amid apotropus for the katanim, for the yisomim, and then we can collect from after the animal does damage. Who do we collect from? So it's machlokas. Either we collect directly from the yisomim. We go directly to them, we collect the money from them. Or we go to the apotropos, collect the damage from him, and he has the right to then collect from the yisomim after they grow up. The implication there is that in the cases of nizkei mamon, at least when there's an apotropos, there's a chiyuv on the ketanim for the damage that they've committed. The Orza Rua proves from there that there's clearly a chiyuv on a katan shemazik l'achar shehigyo. He says, and this is the Ashri also, the Gos Ashri, in Bava Kamma Ches Tes, quotes Rashi on Sadi Ches Med Beis, where Rashi says that Raphram was Mechayev Rav Ashi for being Soref Shtarosav as a Katan, or as a Yeled. Sounds like Rashi thinks that there's a Chiyuv Nezikin on a Katan, La'achar Shehigdil. Right? He was Soref Shtarosav, and then we're going to be Mechayev him after he grows up. So this is a minority opinion, but the Orza Rua, maybe Rashi, and the Hagos Ashri all think that there's a chiyuv on the katan once he grows up. The Rambam in Chovel Dalet Beis. Hope I have this one. Dalet Beis says Chayre Shota B'Katan Kiyas and Ra Chovel Ben Chaya Behin Shchalu B'Acher Mtsurin Af Bishen Nispake Chachere Shven Nistafe Hashota B'Higdil Hakatan Einam Chayav Nishalim Shabishah Shchavlu Lo Hayu Bnei Das. They're putter completely. That's simply a quote for Chavala. The Rambam doesn't address necessarily Niske Mamon and Niske Adam. But the majority opinion seems to be that the Ketanim are not going to be Chaya for once they're Higdil.
Yeah,
where did he address it?
It turned out
he says Nezikin, they're going to be putter. That's true. He says Nizik and Rumi Pater. Fine. He doesn't address Niske Mamon or Niske Adam. Right, what is Nizik in?
Nizik is one of those.
So it's one of those, okay.
Or both.
We have no idea. Right, so Ram never explicitly says what happens in a case where a Katan does damages or a Katan's Mamon does damages. I would point out that part of the discussion here seems to be that we generally don't ma'amid, we're generally not ma'amid apotropos l'chol vasan shal ha'yisomim. We're not going to ma'amid apotropos if it's going to just be to the detriment of the yisomim. So if the yisomim didn't have a chiyuv on their mamon la'achar shehigdilu, why is Bezdin coming along and a ma'amid apotropos if it's just going to be to their detriment? Now it's creating a chiyuv for them. What's your name?
Matan.
Matan.
I think you could bring a right from the Rambam in the first of the Shnei, so I can't run
Okay.
It's
probably a bad translation.
What?
It's probably a bad translation.
I'm initially, so the initial Dayanin, the Yasha, some Vahaskar, Zekin, the other, the Dayanin, that the judges have to prevent Tani from damaging, for advice, this Mamun. So if you have to pay later, then the Dayanin probably would not need to try to prevent Tani from damaging.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, okay, you're making a lot of assumptions, but it's an interesting argument. Okay. Where is that? Which Mishnah is this?
Mishnah.
Oh, on Pizayin. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Fine. And he doesn't say that for anyone else. He doesn't say it for, like, Evan, Nisha, or...
No, I mean, this is...
Just for Tana. Right. But I'm saying not for Evan and Nisha or anything like that. Got it. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. I mean, I think Pashas in Rishonim is that Katan will not be chayav Lachar Shehidyo. So, but okay, very good. Good makor. The Bach in the Tshuvos, Yeshanos Simen Samech Beis, says that the Rambam Shita is that for Adam Hamazik, if a Katan does damages himself, he can never be chayav Lachar Shehidyo. But if a Katan's mamon does damages, then he can be. Okay, why?
Once he owns property,
he
should have to pay for that.
Obligated for his own actions also. Yeah, so I think that's what we want to suggest. That the idea is that for Niske mamon, the Isser is not what determines the Chiyuv Tashlumin. For Niske Adam, it might be. Yeah. But for Niske Adam, the point is that for that the Katan that does the damages can never be chayav, even Lachar Shehigdil, because the Isser Lahazik is what determines the Chiyuv Tashlumen. For Mamun, it's not the Isser Lahazik, it's simply the fact that your money did damages, that's what makes you culpable. So you might not be chayav when you're a Katan, because we can't be mechayav Katanim in general, but you're chayav Lachar Shehigdil, because the Chiyuv Tashlumen is not for you doing something wrong, it's simply the fact that your Mamun did damages, that's what obligates you. Good? Okay. One final question, and very related to the question of whether the Isser Lahazik is the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin. Can an Isser Lahazik be a sufficient justification for the Chiyuv Tashlumin? So what am I talking about? So are there certain cases where there'd be an Isser Lahazik? Normally we wouldn't have a Chiyuv Tashlumin, but we'll use the Isser Lahazik as a basis to be Mechayev Yud Tashlumin. So the Rama in Shin Pei Vav Sif Gimel says that, he's quoting Tosfos, who says that any time you have Grumma bin Azikin, if it's a Dabar Shchiach V'Ragil, you have to pay Mishum Knas. Or Mechayev you to pay Mishum Knas. So Itamar wanted to suggest that what's going on in this Rama is that the fact you have an Isser Lahazik makes you obligated to pay in certain cases, where it's shchiach v'ragil, where it's something that's very normal, very customary, that you should have prevented. The very fact that you have an Isser Lahazik, even though it's grama bin azikin, we're going to impose a knas on you. That's sufficient to allow for a chiyuv mamonos. You don't like that? Aren't paying attention?
This
is grama. This is grama. This is grama that's pater.
That's Tosfos of Pshat in Garmi. Like, Garmi is not any different than the case of grama. It's the exact same case, just more shkia, so therefore, these are bani and chayim. Which is a gemara cook.
Wow.
It's not. You say the svara of grama.
They say it's because of knas?
Yeah, no, he cites the Rama, cites that Tosfos.
Yeah, Tosfos of Babasra, which
is. Yeah, and then the Rama cites the Tosfos.
I'm saying they say it's because of knas, though?
Yeah.
So how is that Garmi? How is that Garmi though? Garmi is a Chayav Medina, no?
No, it's not
Chayav
Medina.
According to the Tosfos, it's just the things that were ponies. It's called Garmi. Things that aren't ponies is called Garmi.
Aha, interesting.
I mean, you can still say that the Yesod of the Kanaas,
right.
But only
okay.
Generally because you do something that's also. You still say the same story.
Right. Okay, fine, interesting. But that's like a terminological difference. Right, just whether it's Garmi or Grama.
Yeah.
meaning it's not, you're not okay, fine. So garmi. So Tozo understands garmi is aser pater midin chai mishum kanas. Okay, fine. In that case, garmi, according to Tosfos, the reason why you're chai is because of kanas. Right, so he wanted to suggest that it's simply the Isra Lahazik alone, which is the basis for why we want to impose a knas on you. Right, the fact that there's an Isra Lahazik and you're not careful with these very common nizikin is a basis for why we're going to impose a chiyav on you. Good? Okay, so just to summarize. So we discussed six main questions. So the first, is there an Isra Lahazik? We talked about the Mabit versus most of the Rishonim. Mabit says there's no Israel Hazik. Almost everyone assumes that there is an Israel Hazik. We discussed what the rationale for the base for the Israel Hazik would be. We spoke about Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's Gezela, the Bach, that it's Bal Tashvis, Rav Chaim and Rabbeinu Chananel, that it's Velo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, Chiyu Shmira, and the Minchas Chinuch, that it's a Din and Hashavas Aveda. We noted that there are certain types of Nezikin, certain cases of Nezikin, which could fit into a different Isser. So we talked about the Meshech Chachma, that Nizke Bor can be an Isra of Lifnei Iver versus Rabim, and Losas and Damim Beisecha for Bor versus Ayachid. We spoke about the Rosh, that Harchakos Nezikin can fit into Derachah Derachay Noam. And we spoke about the Adramah and the Rashash, that Grama can fit into the Yachid Derachakamocha, or to Lifnei Iver, or to Hashavas Aveda. Then we discussed the scope of the Isser. We suggested that the Meshach Chachma is one level of the scope, that it might be limited to Bor. We spoke about the difference between Adam Hamazik and Nizke Mamon, the potential that the Isser might only apply to Adam HaMazik, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and not to Nizke Mamon, even though the Tur and the Rambam and the Sheilta seem to disagree and apply it even to Nizke Mamon. Then we spoke about, and included in the scope, Grama ben Nezikin, even if it's included in the Isser, does it have the same characteristics of the Isser with the Me'iri that says that if you don't have Kavana for Grama, there's no Isser in Nezikin. We spoke about the characteristics of the Isser, the Bach, that there'd be a Psul Eidos, the Rambam, that you need Tshuva for the Isser, and then the Rambam and Rav Haigon, that in cases of where Nezikin hasn't even occurred yet, there might be a right either on society or on the Nizak to remove the Nezikin from his presence. And then we discussed the Safik Lister Lahachmir and the Chassam Sofer suggestion that it's simply based on the fact that the entire system of Nezikin is set up to minimize losses. And then we discussed whether the Isser is whether the Isser Lahazik is the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin, with the Levush that derives the Isser Lahazik from the Chiyuv Tashlumin. And then the discussion of Katan Shehigdil, that if a Katan Shehigdil is Chayav, clearly the Isser is not the basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin. And then we discussed one final question, whether the Isser alone can justify a Chiyuv Tashlumin. Good? Okay, any questions? Yeah, he just says that there's an Isser to do Grama Benazikin, based on the fact that there's a Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda, and so Kol Shekhen is Asur Ligrom Nezek. Good? Okay, great. So I'm not sure who's getting next time, but it'll be on Avos and Toldos.